Today, V is for V-shaped. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post, covering finance and product news with a distinctively Australian flavour. The Australian Gross Domestic Product, or GDP, rose 3.1% in season-adjusted terms in the December quarter, according to figures from the ABS yesterday. The economy, they say, has continued to recover, with activity increasing 3.1% in the December quarter, following the 3.4% in September. However, despite the two consecutive quarters of strong growth, economic activity remained 1.1% lower than that recorded in the 2019 December quarter. This is the first time in over 60 years that the GDP has grown by more than 3% on two consecutive quarters, but of course, that followed a very deep decline before that. The terms of trade rose 4.7% this quarter off the back of higher export prices, particularly for iron ore. And the strength in the terms of trade added 4.2% in nominal GDP terms, and that's the strongest rise since the September quarter of 1983. And actually, when you look harder, there are indeed some good points, but also some that perhaps are not so good. As Peter Martin wrote in The Conversation, there's just one graph that sums it all up. It's the graph of the level of Australia's gross domestic product, how much is produced and earned each 3 months in Australia, adjusted for inflation. And it shows Australia's economy getting bigger and bigger over almost all the past 80 years, with only two readily apparent slowdowns, one in the early 1980s recession and one in the early 1990 recession. That is until COVID, but last year's recession wasn't a slowdown like the other two. It was a collapse so big you could see it on any scale, even one that went back to when modern records began. And it was V-shaped. As soon as the economy collapsed by 7% in the 3 months to June, which is the most since the Great Depression, it bounced back 3.4% in the 3 months that followed, and a further 3.1% in the 3 months that followed that. So, actually, if you look at it carefully, it's more like the beginnings of a V. The gain of 3.1% and 3.4% doesn't really do anything to offset the dive of 7%, because the percentage increase in a small number does less than the percentage dive in a big number. It's reasonable to think that population-fueled GDP is irrelevant to our lives as well. What actually matters is GDP per head or per capita. That's the amount earned per person. It shows actually pretty much the same pattern, a V-shaped. It's so clear that you can see it even again on the widest possible scale. The economy, though, is 1.1% smaller than it was at the start of last year and 3.3% smaller than it would have been had economic growth continued. Now, that's an extraordinarily good outcome given what Frydenberg described as the economic abyss forecast just 5 months ago, back in October 2020. Do you remember that? Government support, of course, has now turned into private spending. During the recovery, there's been a continuing rebound in consumer spending. It dived 12.3% in the June quarter, climbed 7.9% in the September quarter, and in the 3 months to December, when Victorians became freer to spend, it rose a further 4.3%. Now, we funded it in part by cutting what had been an extraordinarily high household savings ratio. Household savings slid from a record high of 20% of net of tax income in the June quarter to 12% in the December quarter. Unable to spend much on travel, we're spending on things we can in the 3 months to December. Our spending on motor vehicles, for example, jumped an amazing 31.8%, putting it up 22.2% over the year. And our spending in hotels, cafes and restaurants rebounded 17.5% in the month to December, although with overseas and much interstate travel restricted, it is still down 29.8% over the year. With the help of low interest rates and incentives, housing investment climbed 4.1% in the quarter. That, of course, includes home builder. And business investment in plant and equipment climbed 8.9%, which includes the instant asset write-offs. Looking at the data in more detail, household spending increased 4.3% as restrictions continued to ease, but remained 2.7% down through the year. Spending on goods rose 2.8% in the quarter and is up 6.2% through the year, and the purchase of vehicles rose a record 31.8%, reflected elevated household disposable income and shifting spending patterns, with continued limitations on some expenditure items such as international travel. Spending on services rose 5.2%, and that reflects a partial recovery, with spending down 7.8% through the year. Recreation and culture, hotels, cafes and restaurants and health all continue to rebound as movement and trading restrictions eased. Victoria recorded the strongest increase in household spending after strict lockdown restrictions were lifted. Despite growing at 10.4% for the quarter, housing spending in Victoria was still 7.2% below its pre-COVID levels. And household spending for the rest of Australia, excluding Victoria, rose 2.3% in the quarter, 1.1% lower than at pre-COVID levels. So that, of course, makes worrying reading. Private investment rose 3.9% and contributed 0.7 percentage points to growth, and there were rises across both housing and business investment, with improved conditions that coincided with government incentives such as Home Builder and the expanded instant asset write-offs. Ownership transfer costs at 15.2% and dwelling investments at 4.1% both contributed to the increase in housing activity, and the rise in business investments was driven by an 8.9% increase in machinery and equipment. The compensation of employees rose 1.5% as employment and hours worked increased with underlying activity in the economy. But despite this, household income fell as non-labour income declined with a reduction in government support payments. The household saving to income ratio was at 12%, falling from 18.7% last quarter, and that's still elevated. Falls in gross disposable income and increases in household consumption both helped to reduce the savings. Bumper harvests led to a record rise in agriculture, forestry and fishing, with gross value added to the GVA, they call it, farm production, rising an astonishing 26.8% in the quarter. That's the biggest jump since 2008, on the back of second best winter crops on record. GVA rose 2.7% the quarter, with rises in 17 out of the 19 industries. Favourable weather conditions contributed to a large grain harvest, which is reflected in a 26.8% increase in agriculture, forestry and fishing. The impacts of this flowed through the supply chain, including into wholesale trade up 3.6% and transport, postal and warehousing up 6.1%. And the increase in agricultural production was also reflected in a 23.5% increase in rural exports. Accommodation and food services, administration and support services, and arts and recreation services, those were industries which were heavily impacted by the pandemic, continued to rebound in the quarter as restrictions eased. But despite this, the activity in all three industries remained below their pre-pandemic levels. And there were flow-on positive impacts to other industries along the supply chain, including wholesale trade and transport, postal and warehousing, which rose 3.6% and 6.1% respectively. And if the economy continues to recover at this pace, and that V turns into an upward tick, we would be making big inroads into unemployment, and the coronavirus recession will look like a blip, just an aberration. But, of course, there are no guarantees. The JobKeeper employment subsidy ends on March the 28th. And the sharp upticks in business investment and farm production are actually unlikely to continue. So much will depend on the May budget, which comes out before the next update. And also what's happening with commodity prices and international trade, which I'll touch on in a moment. Among the budget decisions that will matter, it'll be how to deal with the funding requirements of the Aged Care Royal Commission, whether and how to proceed with the legislated increases in compulsory superannuation, and how quickly and to what extent it withdraws support from the economy. There's actually a case for keeping support high in order to extend the rebound in GDP and make big inroads into unemployment right up until the point we return to meaningful inflation, which of course is where the RBA is. And so that does make a case for driving growth hard. And today we got some more data too, with Australia's trade surplus hitting $10.1 billion in January. That's a record high and well above market expectations. In fact, the January result was $3 billion higher compared with December, which was revised up a little from $6.9 billion to $7.1 billion. Australia's trade account has now been in surplus for 37 consecutive months, each month through 2018, 2019 and 2020, as well as the opening month of 2021. And that, by the way, eclipses the $9.6 billion from last March. Within that, export earnings grew by 6.2%, while imports dipped by 2.3%. The exports were boosted by higher commodity prices, which rose by 7.6% in US dollar terms or 4.8% in Aussie dollar terms. A standout has been the spike in the iron ore price, up on strong demand from China and constrained supply. This lift in commodity prices extends the trend evident over the past year, with the terms of trade increasing by 7.3% through 2020. Exports were up $2.3 billion in January, centered on metal ores, mainly by iron ore, up $2 billion, while fuels, including LNG, also rose up around $0.25 billion. But imports fell by $0.7 billion, with falls broadly based. Much of this is likely to be due to lower prices, with the Aussie dollar rallying in the month up 2.7% against the US dollar and 2.1% higher on a trade-weighted basis. And retail trade in January 2021, season-adjusted, rose 0.5% month-over-month, according to the ABS. That updates the rise of 0.6%, which was published in the earlier preliminary estimates. And Australian turnover rose 10.6% compared to January 2020. Within that, food retailing was up 1.6%, with 1.3% for supermarkets and grocery stores, 2.3% for liquor retailing, and 3.1% for other specialised food retailing. Household goods retailing was just 0.1%, with a 1% rise for hardware, building and gardening supplies. It rose 0.4% for furniture, floor coverings, houseware and textile goods retailing, but fell 1% for electrical and electronic goods retailing. So maybe we've finally got enough TVs. Clothing, footwear and personal accessory retailing fell 3.6%, with a 6.1% fall for clothing retailing, while there was a 2% rise for footwear and other personal accessory retailing. So we bought lots of shoes and less clothes. Department stores fell 0.4%. Other retailing was up 1.4%, and cafes, restaurants and takeaway food services were down 0.8%, with takeaway food services down 1.2%, and cafes, restaurants and catering services down 0.4%, making a total of 0.5%. And across the states, New South Wales rose 0.8%, Victoria was 1% higher, but Queensland fell 1.5%, South Australia was 0.4% higher, Western Australia was 2.1% higher, Tasmania was 1% higher, the Northern Territories was 0.6% higher, and the ACT was 0.6% higher. And just looking at the different sizes of retailers, the original estimates for large retailers fell 23.4% in January, while small retailers fell 19.8% over the same period. So you can see there are some interesting signs of stirring in the economy, but of course we are now facing into the cut of JobKeeper and the removal of the Job Seeker supplement. So it will be interesting to see how the next 3 to 6 months plays out. And of course, we still have the unknown unknowns in terms of what's going to happen with the variants of the virus and the vaccine rollouts. So sure, there is a V on the horizon, and it'll be interesting to see whether V turns into a V for victory or just a V for a slight uptick. Time will tell. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.